This has been a little while since anybody preached just on this, and I think it's time. The young people are growing up, and this is very important. Every person needs to understand this. And so, there was a question raised to me: what is salvation, and what is sanctification? What is salvation, and what is sanctification? Very important question. Very important answer. We all need to understand that. So, to begin with, the word salvation, and this is kind of my introduction, although it's my first point. I'm a little bit better turn the lights on. This light on. My first point, but it's also kind of my introduction. The word salvation, or saved, can be found many times in the Bible, referring to a deliverance. So as we want to know what salvation is, and we're reading our Bible, we need to know this right off the bat. The word salvation, or saved, in the Bible does not always refer to spiritual salvation. Those are words used in the Bible just like we use the word saved today in modern-day English. I got saved from drowning. I was saved from a car wreck. And so those words are found in the Bible just like that too, salvation. In Philippians 1:19, salvation is referring to a deliverance, a physical deliverance. Paul says in Philippians 1:19, "For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer." Is he saying, "I'm going to get saved? I'm going to be born again?" No, he's not saying that. He's saying, I trust that the Lord is going to free me out of prison by your prayers, and I will be able to come visit you. Paul's referring to be physically freed by the word salvation there. And then another time, Romans 13:11, salvation is a reference to the rapture, or salvation is a reference to just simply a deliverance to heaven, going to heaven. Romans 13:11 says, "And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed." Is he referring to spiritual salvation, getting saved? No. He's referring to, we're going to go to heaven soon. We're going to go to heaven soon. Okay, so salvation does not always refer, the word in the Bible doesn't always refer to spiritual salvation, getting saved, but it also is just a physical or other kind of deliverance. Deuteronomy 33:29, it's referring to God's physical deliverance of Israel from the nation's enemies. "Happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee, O people saved by the Lord." Was every Israelite saved and went to heaven? Did Nabal, the fool that mocked David, did Nabal go to heaven? No, we don't believe Nabal went to heaven. Not every Israelite went to heaven. And so it's not referring to a spiritual salvation. It's referring to a physical deliverance. They're saved from their enemies by the Lord. And then one more, Mark 13:20. The word saved, that's in the New Testament now. The word saved is referring to the saving of physical life. And this verse has no reference at all to spiritual salvation. Mark 13:20, "And except that the Lord had shortened those days, no flesh should be saved." Talking about the tribulation days. "Except the Lord had shortened those days, no flesh should be saved." Is it talking about spiritual salvation? No. It's talking about saving physical life. Saving physical life. Okay? So the word salvation, the word saved, can be simply a physical deliverance as you read the Bible. You need to know that. The context of the word will always define whether it is referring to spiritual salvation from sin or something else. Okay, so with that said, let's pray and ask God's blessing on this Bible study. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for your word. And Father, I pray that each one of us will understand this today. Father, I pray that not one of us are trying to work our way to heaven, trying to get sanctified before we get saved. And so, Father, I pray that you would bless this time. In Jesus' name, amen. So point number two, God's salvation. What is salvation? What is salvation? That is a huge, huge question. God's salvation is a huge plan of tremendous scope, tremendous meaning, okay? What is salvation? Well, that's similar to asking the question, what is time? What is time? As we know what time is, time, there's a a simple day-to-day answer of what time is. Time is, there's 24 hours in every day. Right now it's 11:15 in this day. And that's how we understand time on a day-to-day basis. But is that all that time is? No, time is a much bigger thing than just 24 hours in the day, 60 seconds, 60 minutes in an hour. Okay? God's salvation is just like that. We have an everyday understanding of salvation, and then there's the big, huge, full meaning of God's salvation. And the big, huge meaning of God's salvation is very, very broad, very big. But if I could break it down to a nutshell, as small as I can break down God's big plan of salvation, as small as I can make it, the salvation God offers to mankind is, number one, justification from the penalty of sin. Justification from the penalty of sin. Then, number two, God's plan of salvation includes sanctification from sin and being made into Christ's image on a daily basis. And then number three, God's great plan of salvation also includes, lastly, finally, he's going to glorify every believer into the image of his dear Son. Those three steps are God's vast plan of salvation in a nutshell. Okay? God promises to justify every person that will come to him, man, woman, boy, or girl, justify you. Then every person who he justifies, he promises that he will begin to sanctify. Sanctify. And then he also promises that everyone who he justified, he's going to sanctify, but he's also, he promised, he will finally glorify them one great day. That is God's vast offer of salvation to man in a nutshell. Justification, sanctification, and glorification. He offers to take a wicked sinner, justify that person before God, sanctify him unto God, and glorify him one day into the image of his dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn to Isaiah 53:11, please. Isaiah 53:11. I made these notes on the board so that people at home could follow along, and also you guys can read again what you missed, and so you get this, you understand this. Okay, this is very important. What is salvation, and what is sanctification, and what are those two things? But we're talking about God's big plan of salvation right now. Isaiah 53:11 says this: He shall see the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Okay, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to bear our iniquities. That's justification. So let's go get into that first step. Number three, the first step of God's vast salvation plan is justification. And justification is the day of salvation. Justification is a single day event. Okay? This is the day of your salvation, the day you got saved. You were justified before God, if that has happened to you. Okay? It's a single moment kind of event. And so this is where the things get a little muddled. We use the word salvation to talk about this single day event. This is where the word, it has a big scope, and then it has a smaller everyday-to-day use. Okay? And this is where the smaller use of the word salvation comes into play. We use the word salvation to refer to the everyday understanding of a person getting saved. Salvation. But the word isn't just in that idea. The word goes way beyond that, okay? But justification. Let's look at some verses here that explain what we're talking about. Getting saved, or the day of salvation. Romans 3:24, it's on the board. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. That is what we're talking about. Justification. Getting saved. Romans 5:1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, That is the day of salvation. 2 Corinthians 6:2 says this, "For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." The day of salvation. So it is one single day in your life. Okay? If you are a believer today, it has happened. There was a day when you turned to Jesus Christ. It was a one-time event in the believer's life. Okay? One-time event in the believer's life. It never happens again if you're a believer. You don't have to do this again. All right? Now, for the lost person who lives and dies in their sin, this never happens. Okay? This never happens to the person who died and went to hell. But for the believer, it happened the day you repented of your sin. You were justified before God. That's your day of salvation. So let's go to justification's terms. Next picture. Justification's terms and definition. Justification has many terms. We refer to being born again. We refer to repenting of your sin or repenting of your sins. We talk about being converted or that you need to be converted. We talk about getting saved or being saved or be saved, get saved. Again, we also use the term salvation here many times to describe this one day event. Again, the word salvation is not embodied solely in this single day event. Salvation is a much bigger term, but we understand the everyday idea of salvation in this one day event of justification, the day of salvation. Okay, we also refer to being justified. We also refer to receiving justification before God. We talk about receiving Christ as your Savior. We talk about you need to have your sins forgiven or have your sins washed away. We talk about you need to receive forgiveness of sins. All these terms, and I might not be including them all. I might have forgotten one. But all these terms mean the same thing. Receiving Christ as your Savior, having your sins forgiven, have your sins washed away, receive forgiveness of sins, be converted. They all mean be saved. Get saved. Be justified. It refers to your day of salvation. Okay? So a lot of terms in God's Word. A lot of terms that the preacher uses from the pulpit. But they mean the same, very same thing. Except for the word salvation means more than just the day of salvation. Okay? So remember that one. That one has a bigger meaning than just the day you got saved. But all those terms mean the same thing. Very important to understand. And when we tell someone that, and I'm not moving on, Jonathan, I'm on the story here. When we tell someone that God offers them salvation, we are telling them just the very tip of the iceberg. The very tip of the iceberg of the information. There's a lot more information that we're not telling them. We follow up the statement that God offers salvation to all men by saying something like, "And you need to get saved." Now, in that statement, "You need to get saved," God offers you salvation. Now, in that statement, did we tell them everything that God wants to do with that person? No, we didn't tell them everything that God wants to do with that person. Because what God wants to do with that person is irrelevant until they get saved. Okay? So we don't bother telling them, "And God wants to sanctify you, and God wants to glorify you." That doesn't matter yet. He's not going to do those things unless they do get saved. And so that's why the word salvation comes to mean just the day of salvation, when it actually means a whole lot more than that. We're simply not telling them what doesn't yet apply to the lost person. Okay? It's like a dad telling his son, "Son, you need to get married." What's dad saying? Is dad saying, "Son, go find a girl that will marry you. Have a marriage ceremony and then bring her on home to live with us." Is that all dad's saying? No, I don't know any dad that means that when he says, "Son, you need to get married." He's referring to, "Son, it's time to move out. He's not saying, son, go get a girl, have a marriage ceremony, then bring her home to live with me. I need another person to live in my house. I just feel so lonely. He's not saying that at all. But he is saying a whole lot. He's saying a whole lot when he says, son, you need to get married. He is saying, it's high time you find a girl that's willing to marry you, and you need to marry her. But he's also saying, and don't come home. He's saying, go find your own house, son. I want my house for myself. Move out. But he's saying more than that, isn't he? He's saying, you're going to have to find a house. He's saying, you're going to have to set up utilities. He's saying, you're going to have to get a job to support that house and that wife and buy food. And there's a billion things that dad isn't saying, but what that is also included in, son, it's high time you get married. He's referring to the fact that you're going to have to get all the way down to the nitty-gritty, and you're going to have to stock a spice cabinet full of spices. And I remember when I got married, a whole list of things. Marjoram? Do you really, honey, sweetheart, what is marjoram? Is it really something I need to buy? And I could not believe the cost of stocking a spice cabinet, like $350 just to stock a spice cabinet. Thankfully, you don't have to do that very often. Anyway, but dad is saying a whole lot when he says, son, it's time to go get married. There's a lot of stuff he didn't say, but what he means involved. And that's the same thing when we say God is offering salvation to you. What we're referring to right now is you need to get saved. But there's a whole lot more to salvation than just, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner, please come into my heart and save me. A whole lot more to salvation than that. Okay? God offers us so much more than just getting saved from sin and saved from going to hell. Part of what he offers is he makes you a child of God, doesn't he? But we don't say that to the lost person when we say you need to accept God's salvation. What we're simply referring to is you need to get saved. Okay? But salvation is so much bigger than just getting saved. There's a second step of God's salvation plan. Number four. The second step of God's salvation plan is sanctification. And here we have a bunch of terms, some Bible verses first, and then some terms about sanctification. Ephesians 5:25 through 26 says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church. Now, has the church been saved yet? Yes, the church is saved. You aren't part of the church unless you're saved. So this whole verse is not referring to getting saved. It's referring to this is after you have been saved. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it, the church, with the washing of water by the word. You see, there's a sanctification process that happens after we are part of the body of Christ. And there's a cleansing that also happens after we are part of the body of Christ. But it is different than getting saved. Again, salvation, the getting saved salvation, part of salvation, the day of salvation is a one-time event in the believer's life. But sanctification is a different thing. Sanctification is different. We're going to talk about it. Also, 2 Timothy 2:20. This is a great definition right here of what sanctification is. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 2:20 through 22, but in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, referring to what he's going to talk about in just a second, if a man therefore purge himself from what I'm going to mention in a second, from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. And then he says, flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. If you flee the youthful lusts and then follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart, he says, you shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the Master's use, and prepared unto every good work. God wants to prepare us to do his work. That's part of the sanctification process. So what is the definition of sanctify? The definition of sanctify is the act of setting apart or consecrating for a sacred purpose. That's sanctifying something. And God sanctifies us. God does the work of sanctification. The word sanctification, therefore, means the act of making holy. The act of making holy. God is trying to make you and me holier than we were yesterday. That's God trying to sanctify us for his purposes. Now let's look at sanctification's terms, the next page. Sanctification's terms. Again, just like getting saved, there's a lot of terms in the Bible that mean sanctification. There's grow in grace. Grow in grace. And by the way, again, I might have missed one or two. If anybody can think of one that I missed, let me know. Grow in grace. That's in the Bible. Now, this one isn't necessarily in the Bible word for word, but we say it. Grow in spiritual maturity. We need to grow in spiritual maturity. Or we need to spiritually mature. Okay? Those phrases I don't believe are in the Bible, but the preacher uses those phrases. We need to put on the new man. Or we need to be putting on the new man. We need to put on Christ. Or be putting on Christ. We need to learn of Christ. Or, there's another phrase, we need to grow in the knowledge of Christ. Both of those terms, learning of Christ and grow in the knowledge of Christ, those terms imply you are also following what you learned. You're also following in obedience what you learned about Jesus. If you find out that Jesus is pure, and we have here, you find out Jesus is pure, but then after that do not attempt to live purely like Jesus is, you have not learned Christ. You learn something in your head about Christ, but you have not learned Christ. Okay? So the act of learning of Christ and growing in the knowledge of Christ does not just mean head knowledge. Well, he's the Son of God. He died on the cross. He was born in a stable. That's not learning of Christ. That's just the head knowledge about Christ. Learning of Christ is I start to behave like Jesus. I start to behave like Jesus. Okay, so learning of Christ, grow in the knowledge of Christ. Then we also use the phrase, add to your faith. Turn to 2 Peter. This one's found in the Bible, 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. And verses 5 through 8. This is the second step of God's salvation. This is part of sanctifying us. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 8. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? Add to your faith. It's part of sanctification. And then there's another couple of terms. Become more like Christ. Become more like Christ. I don't know that that one's in the Bible, but that's a phrase a preacher will use. Become more like Christ, or we need to conform to Christ's image. We need to conform to Christ. All of these phrases. All of these terms. Grow in grace, grow in spiritual maturity. All of that big list. All of those terms mean the same thing. They mean this. After salvation, and it doesn't happen before salvation, after salvation, the day of salvation, after the day you got saved, then the indwelling Holy Spirit immediately begins to work in our lives to bring about changes that will cause us to live and behave more like Christ does. More like Christ. We can either And this is where the choice of a Christian can come in. We can either obey the Holy Spirit's leading and please the Lord, or we can disobey the Holy Spirit and grieve Him. We can disobey and grieve the Holy Spirit here. Okay? Turn to 1 Corinthians 6:11. 1 Corinthians 6:11. It says, and the verse above it says, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Verse 11 says, and such were some of you, but ye are washed. There's the day of salvation. But ye are sanctified. There's after salvation. God is working in our life. But ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Notice there's two phrases for being justified there. You're washed and you're justified. And you are sanctified. Notice that one cannot be sanctified unless he has also been justified. You can't be sanctified unless there's a justification first. Sanctification happens after salvation. Okay? Turn to 2 Thessalonians 2:13. 2 Thessalonians 2:13. If I can find 2 Thessalonians 2:13. But we are bound to give thanks alway to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Now, what is he referring here to? He's referring to God's full plan, scope of salvation. God has chosen you to the entire whole plan of salvation through sanctification of the Spirit. He is going to one day, he's going to sanctify you and one day glorify you through the Spirit. And sanctification is the process that he's using right now to get us closer and closer and closer to what Jesus Christ looks like, you see. there's a spot right there in the Bible that uses the word salvation to talk about to refer to the big plan of God's salvation. The big plan, the whole thing. He justified us already. Now he's sanctifying us and he's going to glorify us, you see. God's salvation plan. All right? So sanctification is the second step in God's salvation plan. Let's look at some major differences between the day of salvation, which is justification, number five. Major differences between the day of salvation, or the day I got saved, and the difference between sanctifying me. The first big difference is being saved is a one-time event. Being saved is a one-time event in the believer's life. Sanctification is a daily and ongoing process. John 13:10 said, Jesus saith to him, he that is washed, that's referring to the day of salvation, the moment you got saved, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all. That last phrase is referring to Judas Iscariot. He that is washed in my blood, washed in the blood of the Lamb, he that got saved doesn't need to rewash in the blood of the Lamb anymore. Except you need to wash your feet. Okay? Getting washed in the blood of the Lamb is a one-time event, but then going to Jesus and washing our feet is part of the sanctification process. Alright? So being saved is a one-time event. Sanctification is a daily, ongoing thing. B, saving a soul. The big differences between the day of salvation and sanctification. Saving a soul is done completely by Jesus Christ. There is nothing that soul does to help Jesus Christ save him or her. Okay? Saving a soul is done all by Jesus Christ alone. But sanctification happens by the Holy Spirit's power with with the believer's cooperation. We can put a stop to this if we want to be disobedient to God. Sanctification happens by the Holy Spirit's power with the believer's cooperation, with the believer's obedience, and with the believer's effort as well. John 17:17 says, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." So one of the ways we get sanctified is we read the word of truth. We read the Bible. If we don't read the Bible, then God's word sits on a shelf and doesn't do us any good. It doesn't sanctify us sitting there. We have to pull it down and read it. We have to do something to be sanctified by God's word. Okay? It's with our effort and by the Holy Spirit's power, but we do something. Salvation, the day of salvation is different. We didn't do anything to get saved at all. All we did was put our faith in Jesus Christ alone for salvation. The day of salvation. And again, 2 Timothy 2:20 through 22. I've already referred to this verse, but look at verse 21. If a man therefore purge himself from these, there's something we have to do. We have to work at getting sin out of our lives. That's part of sanctification. The believer does work for this great thing, this great work that God is doing in our lives. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Okay? Saving a soul is done completely by Jesus Christ alone, but being sanctified, you and I have to work with the Holy Spirit. We have to be obedient to the Holy Spirit and do the things He wants us to do to become sanctified and meet for the master's use. 1 Peter 1:2 says, through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience. Okay, it requires our obedience to become sanctified. 1 Thessalonians 4:3-4. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication. Part of being sanctified is making the choice that I'm not going to go down the road of fornication. I'm not going to sin in that way. Okay? And verse 4 says that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. So saving a soul is done completely by Jesus Christ. Sanctification is with the believer's cooperation with the Holy Spirit. Number three, which is letter C, the major differences between getting saved, the day of salvation, and sanctification. Getting saved is getting washed in the blood of Jesus Christ one single time. Sanctification is rewashing. It's rewashing. It's repairing our relationship with the Savior by confession after we have damaged that relationship by our sin. Okay? We have to go to Jesus and say, Lord Jesus, I've damaged my relationship to you. Please forgive me. Would you restore our relationship back to where it was? Ephesians 5:26, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. That's this part of cleansing again. Do we need to be rewashed in the blood of the Lamb and have all of our sins washed away again? No. But we walk through a dirty world and we get our feet dirty with the world, and our feet need to be washed clean again by the word of God. Psalm 51:12 says, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. There's the relationship repair. My relationship to Jesus needs to be repaired because I damaged the relationship by my sin. And we know that Jesus is holy, Jesus is pure. Jesus never damages our relationship. Every time our relationship gets damaged, it's because of me and because of you, your relationship with Jesus. Okay? So Jesus never has to fix anything. We have to go and say, Lord Jesus, I'm sorry. I did something that displeased you again. Would you please forgive me and restore the joy of your salvation, restore our relationship again. Make me pure again in your eyes. 1 John 1:7-9. But if we walk in the light, is that a reference to a lost person or a saved person? That's a saved person, walking in the light. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. This is referring to saved people. We have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, still cleanses us from all sin. There is still sin I need cleansed from on a daily basis. If we, those same people that are walking in the light, those same people that are born again, that already have been saved, if those people, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. You see, we still have sin in our life. So therefore, the last verse, verse 9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That passage, in context, is referring to saved, already saved individuals. Saved individuals have sin they need to confess and get right with the Lord Jesus, you see. Now, many people have said to me, to other people, many people have said, I need to get my life right, and then I will go to God. I need to get my life right, and then I will go to God. No, you don't. That's backwards. That is like trying to get clean without having any water to bathe with. Have you ever gotten all dirty and then tried to get clean without water? Does it work very good? Doesn't work good at all. You cannot get clean without water unless you have some chemical that eats your skin off and you know, it's pretty bad. Okay? But water is the substance we use to get clean with. That's a God-given substance. So, I need to get my life right and then I'll go to God. That's like saying I need to go get a bath and I'm going to get a good bath without any water. It can't be done. It can't be done, you see. You have to have the blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse you. Getting saved is God washing the sinner, washing the sins off the sinner. God washes the sins off the sinner. You don't get rid of your sins and then go to God. It cannot be done. God, getting saved is God washing the sins off the sinner and then God beginning to sanctify that person through the Holy Spirit. And sanctification is walking clean then. Walking clean after salvation, after you got saved that day. Walking clean through the world after that. But the sinner must come to God as the sinful person he is. You don't come to God a clean person. It cannot be done. You must come to God as the sinful person you are and allow God to wash you in the blood of Christ. So I need to get my life right and then I'll go to God. Cannot and does not ever happen. Lastly, the last step of God's salvation. I guess this isn't lastly. Maybe it is. I'm getting my points mixed up. It is the last point. The last step of God's salvation is the step of glorification. We are going to be glorified one day. Praise God. Romans 8:17 refers to this. And if children, notice, we're born again. We're the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. And that suffering with Him is referring to, there are levels of glorification, I believe. Those who suffer with Christ receive more glory in heaven. But every single person who is justified by the blood of Christ, who gets saved, every person will be glorified into the image of the Son of God. That's a promise in the Bible. Romans 8:30, and here it is, the promise. Romans 8:30, moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called, and whom He called, them He also justified, He saved them, and whom He justified, them He also glorified. It's a promise. If you got saved, you will be made, conformed, if you will, conformed into the image of Jesus Christ. Okay? That's the last step of God's salvation. The big, huge plan of God's salvation is to take a wicked sinner, save him, Then sanctify him and begin to make him holy. The act of making him holy, set apart to God, meet for the Master's use, and one day when we get to heaven, God promises, at that point, I will finally finish the job of sanctification. I'll finish that work at the moment of your death, and you will be made into the image of Christ. Until the rapture, it happens in part, I think. We're not totally sure on this. But our glorification, until the rapture happens, it happens in part at the time of our death. Those who have died in Christ in the church age, they are glorified right then in that they are finally separated from the body of sin. That's glorifying them. They're separated from the old sinful man for the first time. And that person is then instantly with Christ in glory. The Bible says, 2 Corinthians 5:8, we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. So that's where the phrase came from. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So those who have died in faith in the church age have not yet received their glorified body. They're still waiting for the rapture for that. Their glorification has happened in part. Their sinful nature has been put in the grave. Their sinful nature did not go with them to heaven. In that way, they are glorified right now. They are with Christ in His glory. In that way, they are glorified right now. But they have not yet received their new body. In that way, their glorification has not yet been complete. Look at 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15:51. It's on the board, but let's go ahead and turn there. 1 Corinthians 15:51. Finally, when the rapture hits, when Jesus does return, all of the church age saints are fully glorified at that moment. 1 Corinthians 15:51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. That's a spiritual reference, a biblical reference to death. We are not all going to die. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. God is going to change this mortal body at the rapture. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. The dead shall be raised first, 1 Thessalonians tells us. The dead shall be raised first, and they will receive their glorified body right then at the rapture trumpet. And then it says, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed as well. Our mortal body is changed instantly into a glorified body at the rapture. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. That's the last and final step of God's promised huge salvation plan for all men. But the word salvation we use on a daily basis to refer to get saved. Get saved. But you need to understand this wondrous, glorious plan. He wants to save you, then He wants to sanctify you, and you need to cooperate with Him. And then He promises, I will glorify you one day. I will glorify you one day. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for your word. Thank you for this great, great, awesome salvation you've given to us. And thank you, Lord, that it's not just getting saved from sin, getting saved from the penalty of sin, getting saved from going to hell, but we are saved into being a child of God. We are saved into being an heir with Jesus Christ, joint heir with Christ. What tremendous, wonderful, glorious things you include with your great salvation. And thank you so much for that, Lord. I pray that you'd help each one of us to understand this great salvation you've given to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We'll take about a 7